Univar Solutions family, partners, and friends, welcome back to part two of the State of the Union Transportation Style with our friend, the man, the rainmaker, Rob McRae. Now, Rob, I know in the front half of this discussion, we spoke specifically about riding the rail. Now let's talk about tractor trailers, long hauls, and the movie Over to the Top, arguably one of Stallone's best movies and one of the all-time top trucker movies. Would you agree?
God, I don't even remember that movie. It's like 30 years ago, yeah. That's the arm wrestling one, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Now, Rob, I'm going to want you to unpack a little bit the spot market versus the dedicated contracted fleets. But before we do that, as Heartbreaker is the bumblebee to my Optimus Prime, Heartbreaker, what's your favorite all-time trucking movie?
That's a fantastic question. And while Over the Top is brilliant, I'm going to have to go Mad Max.
Solid. All right, Rob, let's get back at it. Talk to us a little bit about the current spot market and the dedicated contracted fleet.
So spot markets. Spot markets is when you have a shipment and you need it moved. And typically it's less than 2 or 3 days notice. You're going to go out and you're going to contact a carrier that you know, or a broker if you don't know an asset-based carrier, and say, I need a truck. And that's going to come at a premium relative to a contract rate, which is an OD pair, right? Origin destination pair. So think, say, Philadelphia to Atlanta, hypothetically, right? You would say, okay, I have 100 loads a year, and that comes out to 2 loads a week shipping from Philadelphia to Atlanta, and we're going to negotiate a rate on that. That's a contract rate, right? And so for us, we try to avoid the spot market as much as possible and put as much of our volume into the contract rates, because it gives us a better rate. We can mitigate some of that cost exposure. With that comes an understanding, or must come an understanding, that a large portion of our business is not repeat business, is one time or less than 10 loads a year, right? And that's very difficult to predict and to get contract pricing to negotiate. If you're only shipping 10 loads a year, is that 10 loads in 1 week? Is it 10 loads across 12 months? Is it in 1 quarter, right? So we have begun using, you know, very complex algorithms and modeling right now to try and get better predictive analytics around where our volume will flow and when it will flow, so that we can supply that to our carriers. If you're running a business, whether it's a pizza shop or a gas station, if you know, right, that you're going to get a rush, you typically will staff up and make sure that you have all the resources available. And if you think about, you know, chemical distribution, we typically know that in the summer we use a lot more of our, you know, bulk chemicals for treating water than we do in the winter. So typically there is a buildup of supply that we can then distribute, and it's no different for our carrier base. When you think about common carriers, dedicated carriers, and our private fleet, three different models across the trucking industry. A common carrier is for hire. You can use it one time, you can use it 100 times. A dedicated fleet is yours to use as well, but you dispatch it. You pay a fixed rate on a daily or weekly or monthly rate, and it's yours to move around and tell where to go. And you basically are paying for that driver's hours of service and the power unit, and sometimes a trailing asset with it. And then the private fleet, again, is ours. The difference between a private fleet and a dedicated fleet is that we own the liability, right? That employee is ours, et cetera. But you're internalizing a margin of typically 25 to 35% that you would probably pay to a dedicated carrier. If you think in terms of service, private fleet's right there at the top, followed very closely by a dedicated fleet. And then there is a noticeable kind of decline as you go on the common carrier market.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate that. So give us a comparative look here a bit. What did the market look like pre-pandemic versus current state and go forward?
That's a great question. The market is cyclical, right? Again, think of that pendulum that swings like a clock left and right. Pre-pandemic, that pendulum would swing and would be in one far corner, either in favor of the shipper or in favor of the carrier. And it would last there for 6 months to a year. And then it would slowly begin to creep back to the other side. And that progression from one corner to the other was typically about 2 years before, again, it would be in the opposite side for about 6 months to a year and then begin its slow kind of, you know, counter-cyclical move. What's changed is that pendulum is still swinging, but the heights in which it swings are much steeper, right? So those troughs are much deeper, meaning it's a hyper-inflated market, and or it's a, you know, hyper deflationary market, meaning it's in the favor of shippers. And most notably, the speed in which the pendulum moves, that now hangs on the extremes for 3 to 6 months, And that 2-year swing in between is more like a 12-month in between swing. It moves incredibly fast, which is changing the dynamics on how big companies go to contract. You know, some companies, you know, look at mini bids during the year, quarterly, sometimes 3 a year, sometimes twice a year. And only if you have good predictive analytics can you afford to do an annual bid. But an annual bid will really help to mitigate some of those cost inflation points. But the only way that the carriers will sign off on an annual bid at this point, or I wouldn't say the only way, but certainly the most attractive way that they'll engage on that, is if they trust and if they know that the volume forecasts are legitimate from the shipping company. So if we have good data to support when and how many loads we will have to give to our carriers, then they'll sign up for longer rate commitments, which in turn will mitigate our exposure to the spot market, which in turn will yield higher margins and better service.
Thank you. So let's get your crystal ball out here if we can, Rob. Talk to us about the future of transportation.
Oh boy, there's lots of stuff going on out there from, you know, I think sustainability for most publicly traded companies is top of mind, right? So in a few years, I think carbon credits are really going to be something tangible that people talk about, and how much of your volume is moving on environmentally friendly carriage versus diesel burning, you know, massive diesel burning and, you know, equipment. And are we maximizing our payloads to reduce the overall number of loads out there, right? And that's probably the biggest piece. And so when you think about, you know, our ESG commitments and really the industry's, you know, commitment to ESG, how do you maximize volume onto a fewer number of movements? And what alternative fuels are out there? Is it CNG? Is it LNG? Or is it electric vehicles? And most importantly, you know, what does the infrastructure look like for charging stations or refueling options, right? And that has to be moving at a speed in parallel, at least, with the adoption rate of shippers and carriers alike to move towards those environmentally friendly vehicles. From a rate perspective, I think you will continue to see planning and modeling around volumes, because at the end of the day, being able to predict your volume is worth its weight in gold for mitigating rate and protecting service.
All right, Rob, last question. As your role as the leader of transportation for North America's largest chemical and ingredient distribution, the largest, what does this all mean?
It means an incredible opportunity. At Univar Solutions, we have the largest private fleet inside the chemical industry, period, bar none, full stop. How do we use that private fleet, and how do we do it in partnership with our carriers? You know, there's a lot of different things that we're looking at right now, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but ultimately it comes down to asset utilization. It comes down to partnering with our suppliers as well as our customers and finding solutions really to the transportation and logistics questions and headwinds that both our suppliers and customers feel. At the end of the day, transportation is about managing efficiency and effectiveness, or cost and service. We will always put effectiveness and service above cost, because that's what's paramount, right? It doesn't matter how much you save. If you're late and somebody's going to be out of a product, and the cost is almost always greater, right? So service should always come first. And then we need to find, once we protect service, how do we mitigate that cost exposure and, you know, make the best decisions for our company, our suppliers, and our customers alike.
Great stuff, Rob. Really appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your insight. And we'll have you back soon, hopefully.
Awesome. Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right, everybody. Thank you for your time. Appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us regarding our transportation segment. Thanks to Rob McRae, the Rainmaker, for all of his knowledge. Welcome to the Rabbit, everybody. Stay happy, stay healthy.
Smart Acids, breaking things down for the chemicals and specialty ingredients market, one barn at a time. Smart Acids is part of the Univar Solutions Podcast Network.